Our second scripture reading today comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. It's in verses 22 to 30. You can read along in your pew Bible or read along on the screen. Listen for God's word to you today. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, in regard to what he has given me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning once again. It is great to be with you all today, especially having been away last Sunday at the men's retreat, but it's really good to be back together with you today. I want to say hi to those worshiping online on Facebook Live and YouTube or listening to the sermon podcast later in the week. For those of you who are here on this Daylight Savings morning, turn to somebody next to you and just share with them, which do you prefer, fall back or spring forward? Just share with somebody, which is your favorite, fall back or spring forward? What do you think? Neither one? Neither one. Come on. Come on. All right. Let me see some results. Let me see some results. Who's fall back? Who's team fall back? Surprising numbers. Who's team spring forward? Oh, you. I don't know what to make of this. Okay. How about neither? Yeah. Let's unite the country around that. Okay. So as Pastor Erica was sharing last Sunday in her sermon and this morning, The Time for Young Disciples, our memory verse this month as a church is from John 3:16 and 17. John 3:16 was called the gospel in miniature, and it's a great little synopsis of what we're called to believe as we follow Christ. So it's on the screen, and I want us to read it again out loud together. Here we go. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Amen. And just like you said last week, there are different versions of that same verse, so some of us know it differently. Memorize it how you choose. Okay, last week we focused on that part of the verse that says, God so loves the world. And today, and then we're called to love other people. And so today we're going to talk about the next part, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, or his only Son, or his one and only Son. The word give, or gave, or given, is very common. It's a very common word. And it's not one of those words in the Bible, you know, that shows up once or twice and it's very meaningful. It shows up all over the place. This verb, to give, in some form, shows up in the Greek of the New Testament 416 times. It's all over. And in the Gospel of John alone, it's used 76 times. You probably know a lot of those verses already, just if you think about that the word give in the Bible. Maybe like in Matthew's gospel where Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. And then he continues and he says, is there anyone among you who, if a child asks for bread, would give a stone? Or if a child asks for fish, would give a snake? No. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We have a God who loves to give good gifts. That's in God's essential nature. For God so loved the world, we have a loving God, that God gave his only begotten Son. We have a giving God. And there are different types of gifts that you can give. When I asked my Bible study this last week about what were some non-tangible gifts that people had given them, they talked about the gift of time. Have you ever had the gift of time? Where someone just shows up to spend time with you and be with you? Or maybe the gift of service, where somebody does something even without being asked, just because it needs to get done. Unlike me, who has to be nagged, some people just have that gift, and they give the gift of service. Or maybe after a surgery, you know, when you need some help around the house getting moving, somebody comes and helps. One of the greatest gifts we could give to each other is listening with curiosity and interest. Have you ever had someone just listen to you with curiosity and interest instead of listening, getting ready to refute your every point or get another word in edgewise? What a gift. Maybe the gift of patience. When someone's having a hard time, you don't get frustrated, you don't blow them up, you say, I'll give them the gift of patience. Maybe the gift of laughter. It's like medicine for the soul. Jesus says that even though, he says we are evil, let me reframe it, we are prone to mess things up, we get things wrong so often, even though that is how we are, even we know how to give good gifts to our children, to the ones we love, to people in our lives. So what's one non-tangible, not a thing, non-tangible gift you might offer somebody in your life this week? What would that be? Who would it be? Just think about that. And then in the book of James, it says in the New Testament that every good and perfect gift comes from above. So even our own good gift-giving, that instinct inside of us, the source of it comes from God. We have a giving God who plants that inside of us to seek to be giving people too. The biggest gift that we receive from God is that grace upon grace, Jesus Christ, who comes to us, who's given to us as God's Son, our Savior, the one who comes to us with arms wide open to receive us, to welcome us, to forgive us, the one who comes with an unending love, the one who comes even to sacrifice and die on the cross for us, Jesus who dies so that we may live. And this is the gift of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen? All right. So I want to tell you something about this gift of Jesus Christ that is given to us by God, the givenness of Christ. It's a gift that God gives which cannot be taken away. It is not contingent on something that we are going to do. It's not going to be snatched back if we mess things up, which we all are going to do. It can't be taken away and lost if we stumble in our faith journey, which happens to us sometimes. It's a gift that is given by God in freedom and love, and it's meant to be received. The way that God gives us Jesus Christ is no backsies. There's no backsies. Do you know that phrase? Here, let me give you an example. It's like when you're playing a board game like Monopoly, and someone proposes a trade, and you've got to confirm with them before you finalize the agreement. Are you really going to give me Boardwalk and Park Place? Theo, are you sure you want to do this? Or are you going to rethink it in a minute and say, no, I want them back. I want to undo the trade. Once you do it, there's no backsies, right? You know how that goes. God gives us Jesus in a no-backsies kind of way. God gives you the gift of Jesus. No backsies. That's the gift of eternal life. In our passage today, Jesus is talking about his sheep, the ones who hear his voice and follow him. These are his disciples. They're people like you and me. And this is what he says. He says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. It's no backsies. Once you receive Christ, once you belong to him, it's a gift that can't be taken back. So you are secure, you're safe, you are home. A few weeks ago, my dad came to my house on a weekday to help out with our kids, which my parents and my in-laws both do each week. And he and my mom have been really busy at their house. My parents have been busy at their house up in San Mateo. Some of you heard that they had a leak up in their upstairs bathroom. And the water leaked all down through the house. And it ruined so many rooms. They had to gut half of the house to redo all these things. It got into the walls. It got everywhere. It was a terrible situation. You can console them later. And so they've had to redo all kinds of things in the house.
But the silver lining, you know, of this kind of emergency moment is it gave them a chance to go through their closets and drawers and little nooks and crannies and decide, what do we want to keep and what can we get rid of? What can we throw away? What can we let go? And when I say get rid of, I mean, what can we give to our adult children so that they can have these things in their house? It's like an ongoing flea market happening every day. And so my dad came to my house when I was out, and when I got back, I found hanging from the ceiling fan in my bedroom, two of my old wrestling warm-up jackets, just hanging there. And I brought one to show you today, because I know you'll like it. The old San Mateo High wrestling Bearcats. There it is. Okay, I'll give you a visual for this sermon. Any takers? And my dad said, your mom is returning these to you. Permanently. They've been in your closet, in your old room, in our house, for long enough, much too long. We are giving you this wrestling warm-up jacket, no backsies. Okay. It's a gift that's been given. You know, there's no way that my parents are going to turn around maybe in a week or two and say, oh, actually, never mind. We need that wrestling jacket back. We want it back at our house. Or we don't like the way you're using it and what you've done with it. Or you really didn't deserve it in the first place. No, this is a gift, a valuable gift, that has been given. And the only question left is, what will I do with it? Right? Which is a question I'm asking actively. What will I do with it? Probably. As far as the giver of this good gift is concerned, it's a done deal. And in a theological sense, this is the way God operates with the gift of Jesus. I was talking to Lisa this week about this no backsies sermon, and she kind of pushed back. She said, but don't we have that song that we sing which says, you give and take away, you give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. And she's right. There are certainly things in this life which come and go, or things that are given or taken, or things that we find or that we lose. There are blessings and there are hard times in each of our lives. We don't preach a prosperity gospel either, which says if you're a good little Christian, nothing bad will happen to you. If you're a nice Presbyterian, it'll all be fine. Nothing will be taken away. We don't have that kind of theology. The point that I want to make with you is that we do live in a life where stuff changes, right? Where we have challenges. We have real losses in our lives. Into a world like that, into your life just as it is, God gives you the gift of Jesus Christ. Right into the place where you are, right into the challenges you face. I'll tell you one story from my week. I was talking to somebody here in our church who had been struggling in their faith. And she said, I love PCLG, I love our community here, it's very important in my life. I love God and I want to serve. But I'm not so sure about Jesus. Like, what's up with Jesus? I don't know what to make of him sometimes. And so we met and we talked about it and we prayed about it. And I lent her a book. It's an old one from my bookshelf, I'll show you it. It's right here. It's called The Case for Christ. And it was written by a journalist named Lee Strobel. Some of you will remember this. He examines the evidence about Jesus, the claims of the Christian faith. And this friend here in the church, she reached out this week and said she wanted to meet up and talk some more. And so we met, and she came into the office and put that book down on my table and said, I won't bury the lead. I'm one of his sheep. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm here to follow him. Wow. Of course, that kind of response makes a pastor's heart sing. But this is what we're really talking about today. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's the way that eternal life, or salvation, or life with Christ works. It happens, sometimes all at once, and it's once and for all. Like this woman accepting Jesus Christ in her as her Lord and Savior, receiving that gift in an amazing and special and real way. Once and for all. But it also happens to be a gift that's given again and again, right? I don't know about you, but I don't have one particular life-changing moment or decision point. I have a series of them. On and on it goes. So for me, the gift of faith and life with Christ has happened again and again. It's always being renewed or refreshed or reframed or reformed. So our salvation, then, the gift of Jesus comes to us once and for all. It happens again and again, and then it goes higher and deeper. Our way of being Jesus' disciples leads us into a life that's higher and deeper in our faith. Sometimes I think back about my own faith when I was in high school. There are high school students here today. I'm thinking about you guys. You know, you have a certain kind of faith. And maybe in college, you have a certain way of thinking. And then as a young adult or wherever I am in life, and then as wherever some of you are in life, we all have different phases and stages of our faith formation. Things change. Things develop. I thank God that we can change and develop and grow in our faith through the years, right? We want to go higher and deeper. So that's it, little flock. That's my no backseas sermon for the day. The good news on this daylight saving Sunday is that God gives us the gift of Jesus, and Jesus gives us eternal life. And it's a gift that will never be taken away. Our salvation happens once and for all, but also again and again, and over the course of our lifetime, it gets higher and deeper. In the end, there's no spiritual discipline or thing you can do to make God love you. It's too late for that. God already loves you, has already given you his son Jesus. No backseas. May you receive the gift of Jesus again today. Amen.